I'm so glad that you've tuned in this morning, that we get to be together. I know that it may feel a little bit different than our normal scenario, but sometimes things change. And I think according to where we're at right now, we're living a little bit different. Life is not the same, but we get to experience God. And I think what's so important is that we frame where we're at. And so I just want to encourage you, we've provided on Spotify two channels that you can look for: Expression Church Worship and Expression Church Prayer. And our worship leader, Melissa, has gone through and put all of the great songs. So you can just play it during the day. I know I've gone and I've played golf with some of my friends, and we just play it the whole time. And experiencing Jesus wherever we are. Fill your home. Fill your life, fill your car, rather than putting on the news and just getting kind of in that mode of trying to get more information. Start filling your home and your life, and even for your kids, put in the atmosphere, change the atmosphere in your home, in your car, at your workplace, with who Jesus is and what he wants to do. Well, we're heading into a prayer series, and I'm so grateful for Faustin last week. It was so incredible. Such a good word. And we're going to be spending some time in prayer, but I was thinking about, as we were going to spend some time this morning, and I think I can encourage you. I can give you kind of the perspective. I can tell you that it's going to be a great day. But honestly, what prayer is that you would learn how to engage what God is doing in your life. That it's one thing for me to tell you, and I want to. I want to tell you that God is good and he's for you, and that things are going to change and you need to hear it. But prayer is our activation of asking God to move in our world so that we can lean in and step into what God wants to do. So we're gonna be spending some time. And what's funny is that we had planned this to, after the fight series, to go into prayer. And I think it's God. It's so appropriate that now we're going to spend some time talking about prayer. And so let me pray for us this morning, and then let's just dive into God's word. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our midst. And I pray for everyone, wherever they're at, whether they're listening at their job or at work or at home, in their car, that God, you are moving on our behalf. Jesus, I pray for the churches all across the world that are having to shift and do things differently. Lord, I pray that God, more and more people would experience you and give their lives to you. So Lord, I also pray for those that are listening at home, that Father, that your presence would be there in their midst, and you would begin to frame for them what it is that you're doing. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Prayer is one of those things that actually Jesus demonstrated for his disciples. Prayer is one of those things that begins to anchor our emotions. It settles our minds and it allows us to see what God is doing and helps us lean into it. Prayer is also good for our marriage, our family, our relationship, and our kids. And when we in this season begin to pray together with those in our home, or even our neighbors, or even the person next door, I have found it really easy that when I meet someone and I notice that they're having a tough day, I just ask them right then and there, can I pray for you? Because I think what prayer does is it helps define the moment and lets us see beyond what we feel, so that we can engage it. And prayer is an exercise, not just for the super spiritual, but prayer is something for everyone that calls on Jesus. That Jesus wants us to engage in relationship. That God the Father wants us to talk to him so that we can move into every moment and see what he's doing. Matthew chapter 6. Verses 7 through 13, this is what Jesus is talking to his disciples, and this is what he says. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need, even before you ask him. So pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food that we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. I think when we read the Bible or we read stories in the Bible, that many times we're so used to books just kind of stringing words along to try to paint a picture for us. But Jesus is very, very specific about each word that he uses as he begins to describe this incredible thing that he does with his Father. The disciples have seen Jesus and they've asked him, teach us how to pray. And so Jesus begins to paint the picture with very selective words so that every time we approach prayer, every time we come to the Father, we are framing our world and we're understanding what he's doing and we're leaning into it. It brings revelation, it brings indication, and it brings preparation. And so this morning, I think as we look at the first part of this prayer, Jesus asks, I think he's framing it, and when I was reading the text, it asks this question. I mean, the Bible doesn't specifically ask this question, but I think when we look at our Father in heaven, it leans us to a question, and here's the question. How are you approaching this moment? How do you see yourself, and how do you see your God? So when you come to prayer, when you come to this relationship with your Heavenly Father, Jesus is actually causing us to ask ourselves a question. Because prayer isn't just me dumping everything on God, but it's actually self-reflective. It's putting my life, my world in the framework of who God is. So he says this, and I'm so grateful for Faustin's message. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to it, go online and check it out. It was so good as he leans into this first part of Our Father. But Jesus uses this word, O-U-R, R. That before I even begin my prayer, there's an identity definition. That I'm not alone. When I step into prayer, I am not by myself. I'm actually a part of a collective group of believers all across the world who are leaning into this moment right now and saying things and asking for things because God is real. I love that Jesus uses this word R. That he's connecting us to something so much bigger than ourselves, because I think especially in this time, we feel so isolated and alone. We're sitting at home, we're working from home now, we're going to the grocery store, we're not even supposed to be around people, we're in isolation. And yet prayer takes us from wherever we are and puts us in the context of we are a part of something that's so much bigger than where we're at. Are. That my prayers are not just some little prayer in some little closet in some little place or around the kitchen table. But the moment I say, God, Jesus, the moment I begin to pray, it takes me into something that is so much bigger than myself. Then what he does is he uses this word Father. So first, I'm a part of something so much bigger, the church. And then next, he indicates the relationship that we have, that God calls us sons and daughters. Which means that we have access. We are not illegitimate. We're not off to the side. We get full access to all that God has for us. We're a part of the promises that he has given to all of those throughout history. So the moment we say our Father, the moment we call on His name, we are now a part of something so much bigger, and we are sons and daughters of the Most High, which means our prayers are not insignificant. I'm not alone. I'm not isolated. I'm a part of a family. And God stops everything He's doing to listen to me because I'm His son. 1 Peter 2, 9 says this, "But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for He has called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." Interesting. I think looking at this, you recognize Peter as he's talking here. He says that this is who we are. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. You see, when you're a son, you get to carry, when you're a daughter, a son and daughter, you get to carry the very goodness of God everywhere you go. So when we say Father, you see, here's what Jesus is doing, is he's framing the very approach that we come in prayer. What's the question that we're asking? How are we approaching this moment? How do we see ourselves? And who is our God? Jesus wants to help us frame when we pray. The next one is that Ephesians 2, 6 says, "For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ." The last part of this is our Father in heaven. We have all of heaven as our... I can't even think of the word. We have all of heaven on our behalf. So the first question is how are we framing this? How do identity? It really comes back to identity. How are we seeing this? I'm seeing that all of heaven is behind my life, and in this moment, I'm not alone. I'm a child of the Most High God, and all that God has, and all that He does, and all that He is available for me in this moment. So when I come to prayer, I'm not begging. I'm not barely there. I'm actually getting to stand in boldness and confidence. I think in this moment, the church has to be that more than anything. I think we as believers have to understand what God has done for us. And so Jesus says, it's not just pray these words. I think the first part of this is understand. Understand where you stand when you come and talk to your Heavenly Father. The next question as we come to may your name be kept holy is this is the question that kind of leans in as I approach this verse. What are you about? Because you see, you can't serve two masters. When you come to prayer, you can't have a wrestling match going on in your prayers. Jesus even says this, you can't serve both God and money. You can't serve yourself and God at the same time. So as you approach prayer, I think as it even comes to an internal reflection of, what is my purpose? Why am I here? And when I approach God in prayer, when I'm talking to Him, what is it that I'm actually really after? Am I after that I feel good? Am I after that I just want everything back to normal, or I want more money, or I just want to be famous, or I want. And so we come to God and we're begging. But really it's that we're serving another master. So Jesus says that what are we asking in the midst of all that is going on? Lord, we want to bring You glory. My purpose is that I would live for the glory of God. That I would remind myself as I approach my prayer that what am I about? I'm about living my life and in this moment to bring glory to God. So it reframes where I'm at so that I can see, God, there might be something that I don't like about this moment, but when I pray, help me to understand what my purpose is to bring you glory. How can I be fulfilled and how can I bring greater satisfaction to you, Lord? It's connecting your day. It's connecting your life. It's connecting your thoughts, actions, and words to something that is so much bigger. My purpose is to glorify God in everything that I do. How are you making Him great? So the second part of this prayer is that you're leaning in, and I can only imagine Jesus praying. If this is the outline in which He chose to give His followers, He spends a tremendous amount of time going, God, what is my purpose here? And how am I in everything that I'm doing making you big? Help my attitude and help my actions to glorify. This is my moment to glorify you. How is what I'm doing bringing glory to God? 1 Peter 4:7-11. Listen to this. This is really good. The end of the world is coming. There you go. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. Verse 10. God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God Himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. And here's what I'm trying to get at. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to Him forever and amen. Why do you think we worship? Yes. We don't just worship before the message so that we can just give you some time to get to church. We worship so that we can frame our purpose, which is to give glory to God. So when we come together, we lift our hands and we exalt Him and we magnify Him. And it might even be a challenge in your house as you're listening and watching online. And I just want to encourage you, instead of critiquing whether someone's swaying or do they have a smile on their face or does it sound as good as it could possibly be, maybe just don't even care. Close your eyes, lift your hands, and begin to practice glorifying God in every moment. Instead of being an armchair critic, we become people who lean into this moment going, God, what's my purpose? The next section that we come to is, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This question is this: what are you aligning yourself with? How are you framing this moment and how are you leaning into it? Do you have understanding of what is going on and are you able to lean into it? I think as Jesus kind of brings us to this moment, it brings the framework a little bit bigger. You see, praying this is not a cop-out or an easy way. God, just do what you want. Just flow through the earth and just do what you want, Lord. I really believe that actually this is a prayer of participation. That Jesus is asking us that when we come to the Father, we're no longer people far away. You have to understand the context of this prayer. Jesus is talking to people who now are sons and daughters, which means that their identity is connected to this relationship. And relationship is not we have to beg. Relationship means we get to know. We're no longer veiled. We're no longer hidden. Paul even says, man, this was hidden all along, but now has been revealed to us. God's plan to move in the church through Jesus Christ, His Son. We are people who know what's going on. So Jesus says, listen, when you pray, rather than just kind of throwing it all out there, ask the Father, Lord, help me define this moment. Help me see what you're doing so that I can lean into it. Otherwise, we're being tossed to and fro like waves in a water bottle. Jesus wants to ground us in this moment. This is what prayer is, being grounded in the moment that we have to arise more than ever. I'm preaching, and I know I got five people in the front row amening me, but I hope you're getting this at home. Because Jesus says this, he says, I want you to engage as a son and daughter. God, what are you doing? What is the Father doing in this moment so that I'm not passive, but active? My prayers become activation. I'm inviting my Heavenly Father into this moment, and I'm asking Him to show me what He's doing so that I can lean into it. You have to have this. You see, Paul was on a ship, and the ship was falling apart. And in the midst of that ship falling apart, he asks God, and God says, listen, this is what I'm doing. You're going to survive, and all of those that follow you are going to survive this shipwreck. And so he says, hey, everybody, do what I do. That moment, what did Paul do? He leaned into God. Not just, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen here, guys. We might all die, but the Lord is in charge. The world doesn't need more ambiguous verbal throw up. Another person getting online and giving their opinion of where the coronavirus came from. And to be honest, I just want to encourage you, stop. It's not helping yourself or your family, your children, your relationships by filling your mind full of all the conspiracy theories. We as believers have to be people who understand what God is doing in our context. He may not give you the indication of the global world, but I'll tell you what, if you lean into prayer, you lean into talking to Him, He's going to give you the indication of what He's doing in this moment. Because you're going to find yourself in places that you may not like, but He's actually encouraging you. He'll reveal to you, this is my plan, and I want you to lean into it with all your heart. When everybody else is buying toilet paper and putting it under their house, God says, this is how I'm framing it for you. Knock on the neighbor next door, and I want you to give them all of your rolls, or five of your rolls. And you're like, God, but I don't know, I just can't. You see, this is what believers do in times of desperation. This is why people get saved. In moments like this, this is why the church grows in moments like this, because we begin to frame our whole world into the context of, God, what are you doing? And what do you want me to do? Our Father who is in heaven, your kingdom come. What you do on in heaven, do it here on earth. It's as a believer, I'm leaning into all that God is doing now, and I have understanding in it. Oh, so good. It's activation and participation. Ephesians chapter 5, 15 through 20 in the Message Bible says this: don't waste time on useless work and mere busy work, the barren pursuits of darkness. Expose these things for the sham that they are. It's a scandal when people waste their lives on things they must do in darkness where no one can see. Rip the cover off of those frauds and see how attractive they look in the light of Christ. Wake up from your sleep. Climb out of your coffins. Christ will show you the light. So watch your step. Use your head. Make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. Don't be careless unthinkingly, but make sure you understand Make sure you understand what the Master wants. This is what the world needs. This is what the people at your job need. This is what our family needs. This is what our children need. They need people who lean into prayer and begin to ask the question, God, you and I got relationship, and I just need you to frame this moment where I'm living. I may not understand everything, but I'm asking that you give me the revelation of what you're doing in my home, in my world, and in my family so that I can lean into being an active participant of God, your will, your kingdom coming, and your will be done, that heaven can visit earth and we can see your glory change the earth. Whew. So it says, don't be drunk with much wine. That cheapens your life. Because by the way, you were meant for so much more. Drink the Spirit of God, huge drafts of Him. Sing hymns instead of drinking songs. Sing songs about your heart for Christ. Sing praise over everything. Any excuse for a song to God the Father in the name of our Master Jesus Christ. So in conclusion, in my last minute and 14 seconds that we're together, a prayer is that more than just you being encouraged today, that you actually learn how to fight. More than just getting one more chance for one more day, you actually become the person that God has called you to be, a world changer and a history maker, one who activates what God is doing in your moment. Because here's what I believe, that your best days are actually ahead of you. Here's what I believe, that you're going to pray for people and their lives are going to be changed. Here's what I believe, that you're going to have revelation of where you're at and be able to frame it as God is revealing it to you. And sometimes it's not fun. But I understand. And by the way, understanding changes everything. Because I understand, because I can see, I'm willing to lean in. I think that was Peter getting out of the boat. He sees Jesus and he's like, that's what this moment is about. I kept seeing the winds and the waves, but I lifted my eyes and I see Jesus. And so just call me. You frame the storm that I'm in, get out of the boat. You frame the storm that I'm in, get out of the boat. So Peter gets out of the boat and begins to walk. But all of a sudden, what does he do? He takes his eyes. This is a symbol of prayer. We take our eyes off of God. We're seeking his face. We're asking him to frame our life. So this is Peter. Lord, frame the waves to who you are. But instead, in that moment, the waves begin to frame who Jesus is in our eyes. The waves become bigger, and what happens? We sink. I want you, and I want myself, and I want us as a community to begin to frame everything that goes on in our life in the context of how big Jesus is walking on the water. That even the waves and the winds and the storms may come, but how do I frame them in light of who Jesus is? Because he's walking on the water. These waves don't impact him the way they impact me. So I have to have revelation of what's going on in heaven so that I can bring it. May your kingdom come in heaven, here on earth, what you're doing. Lord, this is where I live. It's not just ethereal and heaven and angels, but it's here. God, how do I frame my world in the context of who you are? So we end with this. How are you framing this moment? And so I just want to encourage you that first it starts with identity, who we are. We are sons and daughters of the Most High. We're a part of a community that is way bigger than what we feel. And that he is bigger than it all. What's your purpose? to live for His glory. So how do you start your prayer every day? How do you start every day? God, help me to live for Your glory today. What can I do that brings You glory? And the last and final one is invite His will. I want to know and be a part of what You're doing, not just what I want. Because when you get a part of what He's doing, everything changes. Let me pray for you today. Would you just bow your heads and close your eyes wherever you're at? And especially if you're not driving a car, that would be bad. So keep them open. But I want to pray for you today because I really believe that you don't even know how big you really are. That your prayers are actually shaping everything that's going on around you. But maybe we have to pray different. Because I believe that God doesn't want to keep you in the dark. He wants to actually reveal to you so that you, because that's what a son is. That's what a daughter is. We tell our son what we're doing so that he can be a part of it. And so I want to pray for you right now that God is pulling something out of you that you didn't even know that could be pulled out of you. That maybe fear has so gripped you or you've just isolated yourselves or this has now become an excuse for you to kind of get back into things that you never wanted to get back into. But I just want to tell you that God is bigger and He's inviting you to His bigness. Heaven is calling you out into this moment. So maybe you've been far away from Jesus or you don't even know Him. And I just want to pray for you that it becomes a simple moment of faith. That you just say yes to Jesus. Would you say yes to Jesus today? And you say it's a simple prayer like this. Jesus, I surrender my life to You. I give You my heart and I believe that You are the Son of the living God that died for me to forgive me of my sins so that I can stand as a son and a daughter. That no matter what happens to me, I will always step into eternity. And if you're here today and maybe you've prayed that prayer before, but you've just been struggling. I just want to encourage you, reframe your world. Start praying. Wake up in the morning instead of turning on the news and trying to figure out what the latest coronavirus updates are. You update yourself with what the latest things of heaven is. Invite your children into those prayers. Husbands and wives or friends call each other. I was on the phone with a lot of pastors and leaders in the city with the judge in our area, Williamson County, and he was saying, we're encouraging people to take 5 for 5. Give 5 minutes to 5 people. Well, what if we did 10 for 5? 5 people we call and we spend 5 minutes talking and 5 minutes praying. Because we want to help reframe what God is doing in their moments. Church, I love you, and I'm so excited for what God is doing in this moment. We believe in you, and we believe that our best days are ahead. Because God is doing something tremendous in our midst. And He's calling us out so that we can be that light that He sets on a hill.